I'm looking like I can see myself. I can look past and see my reflection over there.
I can see your reflection too.
See, ta-da. Great. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi, JP.
How you feeling?
Really good.
So thanks for coming on and doing this thing with me.
Thanks for having me.
This is still new, so I'm kind of feeling it out. I don't have a big format yet, but I figured you are a friend and you're close by and we just shot a movie together, so I was like, I should call Charlotte and see if she wants to come do this thing that I'm going to put on the internet somewhere to hopefully let people see and get to know you a little better. Where do we start? Let's talk about the movie. We did the movie. It was just released.
It was amazing.
It was released last Friday on Kink. As of right before we came in here and started this, it's almost got 100 ratings on it already, which is huge for Kink. In a week's time to have something that fast is like mind-blowing.
That's crazy. I think last time I checked, it was at like 43 or something.
Yeah, it like hit 91 or 92 right before I came in here and started this.
Amazing.
Which is crazy to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't like rating shit. They're like watching it and not giving an opinion.
Flip through, jerk off, and walk away.
Yeah.
That wasn't big news. Let's see, what do we do? Tell me some of the stuff that you like doing, like unsolicited, no, like, oh, well, let me stroke JP's ego more. Like, what was the fun parts about doing the movie with you?
The fun part, I really love just rolling around in the dirt and like having chains on me and just not giving a fuck. It was really freeing to not be like, okay, you have to go like touch up your makeup. Like, okay, we have to stop what we're doing because your hair is fucked up. I like being able to just like be covered in dirt and mud and like my mascara tears are all down my face from like crying and stuff, and that was just really cool. It was really freeing to like really put myself into the character and like have fun with it.
Right.
That was cool.
And it was fun because I remember when we got there, because this place, remember we were talking to the owners, and the last time it functioned, like was fully functional, was in the 80s for like a brief month or two, but and then it had been abandoned before then until like I think prior to that, back to like the 50s. So it functioned, like really got down like in the 50s, and then just stopped, opened back up in the 80s, so 30 years later, and then it shut back down until they started renting it out and letting people do movies there. So that, the, because I remember we walked on set and I was like, don't worry, we're gonna clean this all up, and you were like, no you're not, leave it here, this is what I want.
It's so cool. I loved like every like building we went in, it's like, oh, you can't step here because there's rusty nails and you'll fall through the floor and stuff. And then being like on the lower levels, there's like the animals kind of took over. There's like old skeletons and like a rabbit that had been picked apart by a hawk. And then you go outside and there's all these like bones that have been bleached by the sun.
I forgot about that, because that was a thing that a lot of people obviously don't know about, because we kept finding the remains of dead animals.
So cool.
And you were like, hold on, I gotta take a picture. Like, it was like, we had to stop everything and we had to get your camera so you could come in and take pictures.
I had so many bones in my pocket.
Oh, that's right, you were collecting some of the bones. I forgot about that.
I still have a lot of them, like, on my nightstand. My husband always teases me because I have, like, books and stuff. And he's like, how do you live like that? Why do you have so much shit on your nightstand? I'm like, well, I need, like, all of these 7 books I'm reading at once and this small pile of animal bones.
It's security.
Yeah, exactly.
Some people have an alarm clock. You want the pile of bones.
Yeah, I got the gun next to the bed and the pile of bones and the books.
I do too. I'm not a big reader. Luckily, my wife's a big reader and my kid loves to read. Like, he loves, like, we just had a birthday for him. And when you ask him, what did you get for your birthday? One of his grandpas bought him a brand new bike.
Oh.
Mommy and daddy bought him, the Nintendo Switch, which is a big expensive console. And then there were some toys and this, that, and the other. And the thing he talked about every time, whether it was a child or a grown up or a teacher or whatever, they were like, what was your favorite? What did you get for your birthday? Oh, I got all these books. And he starts naming off the list of the books. And I was like, I wish I'd like to read as much as he did. But that was what he was most excited about. But on my nightstand, I have, because I started reading this to him, and that's about the only time I read is when I read to him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Tao of Pooh.
Oh, I've heard of this one.
It's the Tao of Pooh and the, there's two of them, so they combined them both into one. It's the Tao of Pooh and the Tay, I think, of Piglet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's explaining Taoism on a level that by using poo. So they talk to poo, and because poo
I
is
love that.
So, but right on top of that is where my gun sits, and then my reading glasses, and the alarm, and my medications. Cause I'm old. But, let's see. One, I was going to ask you because I shot a mutual friend recently, Juliet.
Okay.
And she was, we were talking about you guys and at your place, and she said something about your spider room, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute, she has a spider room? And she's like, yeah. I was like, I've hung out downstairs with you guys. I haven't been over that often, but I've been over enough that I've been out in I've seen enough of your home.
Mm-hmm.
And then she said, do you guys have a spider room? And I was like, wait, I want to see a spider room.
Oh, yeah, it's upstairs. I have, that was one of the things my husband, like, I mean, before we got married and lived together, he's like, if we're looking for a house, I want you to have, like, your own space. So I have, like, it's more of a library that happens to have six spiders living in it, so far.
Now, are they, like, tarantula monsters?
Yeah, they're not all monsters. Like, maybe a couple are this big, and then some are a lot smaller. Maybe half of them are big. They all have, like, their different enclosures, like, on top of the bookshelves. And then I have like a couple like haunted dolls and
like legit haunted or just the pure haunted?
My friend haunted them
okay.
himself.
Oh.
He's still alive. It's like these dolls that play like really horrifying music when
mm-hmm.
you play them. That's like about as haunted as I let things get. I used to have my mom's ashes in there and it was just like too much.
Just fuck with you too much.
Yeah, it was too much haunting. I had to get rid of them.
It's weird. I have, because my mom also was cremated, and we have this really pretty box. It's like an urn, and it's like a, it's pretty, and it's engraved, and she liked a hummingbird, so there's a hummingbird engraved on it, and my kid knows it, my wife, and it sits like right in our dining room, and it's not a weird thing, but it's, suddenly you take the ashes and remove them from this enclosure, and suddenly it's like, I don't know about this anymore. Like, it suddenly gets kind of like, I'm not comfortable like this anymore.
Yeah, it's so creepy. I think mine was also creepy because they didn't really give me the option of like a fancy box because it was like a small town. I was
right.
getting everything done and then shipped to me. So I get the box and it's like literally like plastic container that's
right.
taped shut.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what kind of bullshit is this for how much I paid?
My uncle, my dad on my dad's side, he passed and we were young. And he was cremated, and his wife at the time, and this was romantic and maybe a little morbid, but he came in a cardboard box,
mm-hmm.
and she bought a separate bag, similar to the one Becky has, the big bag, you know, the kind of like, I throw all my shit in here kind of bag,
yeah.
and that's, she carried him around with her.
Aww.
And it was super sweet, but at the same time, I was like, get him a better box, he's in a fucking cardboard box that is thick cardboard, but it's gonna fall apart, man. You're gonna, it's gone.
Sweet, it's very Mary Shelley.
it was. I remember as a kid, it was normalized though by her because she was like, it was no big thing that she walked around with the entire box of ashes, and you wouldn't think that ashes weighed that much either. Like there's more weight than I expected.
Oh yeah, they're pretty heavy. I've known some women who like. They carry their dead husbands around, but like small amounts of the ashes to like scatter, like it will, like.
Right.
Oh, this tree's really pretty. I'm gonna put them in. I couldn't imagine like carrying the whole thing. That shit is heavy. It's very dense. It's
right.
like antimatter.
Right.
It's like so small, but it's like compact.
So let's go back to the spiders.
Okay.
What are they named? Because I love this, but I don't want people are gonna be like, what the fuck are they talking about? We're normal, we swear.
Yeah. So one of them, the most recent one I got is Lorelei, another model, Anna Deville. She was moving to Czech Republic, and she's like, can you please take care of Lorelei? So she has that name she inherited.
Anna Deville. I remember her.
She's got the heart-shaped bottle.
That I don't remember about her. But she was she was younger. She was a Spiegler girl for a minute.
Yeah,
I remember her.
Yeah, really, really nice lady. And then the rest of my spiders are named after San Francisco Giants players. So I have Madison after Madison Bumgarner, Marlon Byrd, who was playing for them for a while. I've got Buster. Who else? Oh, one's not a Giant. Draymond Green, he played for the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
He got like kicked out of the finals 1 year for kicking a dude in the balls. So I really relate to that. And then, I can't remember who else right now. It'll come to me.
So you're a sports fan then?
Yeah.
That I didn't know. Like when you're sitting there, I was like, wait a minute, you're a sports fan.
Yeah, like I spent my childhood like between Sacramento and San Francisco. And there's no like good baseball teams around Sacramento except for the Giants. So I grew up watching the Giants and the Sacramento Kings and the Golden State Warriors. And like when I lived in the Bay Area and was like shooting for Kink all the time, I would go to like 10 games a season and see the Giants play with my family. It was really cool. But the tricky thing about living in Vegas is since there's no regional baseball team, you have six surrounding teams competing for the broadcast space, so you can't get all the games, and if they're on TV, it's usually on like a blocked out channel. So you need like Dish Network or like Comcast or something.
And you gotta pay that stupid amount of money to get just to watch one team.
It's ridiculous. And like I had Cox, which is like the shittiest cable provider ever.
Right.
Like never fuck with Cox. And I was I was signing up and I was calling them. I'm like, okay. So, tell me this, promise me this, if I pay the most expensive premium package, whatever, I can watch my San Francisco Giants. And they lied through their teeth at me. They're like, yeah, you totally can watch the Giants.
Just a fucking cellular package.
I didn't get any of the fucking games. I was so pissed off.
I've got some good news for you, because you're a baseball fan, obviously. Mm-hmm. Baseball is probably the primary, and then basketball.
Mm-hmm.
You know that Vegas has a minor league team, right?
Yeah.
We went to three games this season, and you walk in, you come in from where the outfield is to kind of get there, then you disperse and go around and get the seats. We go in and get what's they're called, I forget the actual name, but they're basically lawn seats, and it's not, there's not this huge lawn, there's a patch that's half the, probably the size of our studio. It's not, if it's that, and it goes up and it comes down, so it's all, you're sitting on a hill, but it's like $12 to get in.
That's,
and when you walk through the gate, like you come in here, and then here's the diamond here. And you walk in here, they have a splash pad for the kids. They have a fucking pool, a full-size pool, at center field. So there's center field, and then boop, there's a fucking pool. So people can go hang out around this pool, or you can rent it to have parties. And then you can either go left field and go to where the food is, or you go to right field, and this is where the lawn is. And the cool thing, you hang out there, like family stuff, they have the pitchers warm up space right in front of it. So if anything, like once they get through warming up, they're throwing the balls over the kids.
That's so cool.
It's amazing. And it's beautiful because it's, you get the sunset that's going, because you're facing, when you're sitting there, you're facing towards like Red Rock Canyon. So you see the sun, and it's just fucking
so
beautiful out
there.
We'll have to go to a game next year.
Yeah, definitely.
But they feed the Oakland A's.
Oh, really?
They are feeding, if I'm 99% sure that the Aviators are the feeder team unto the Oakland A's.
Oh, that's so crazy.
So that kind of gets us back to the Bay Area.
Yeah, in a roundabout way. Yeah. And then a lot of the A's players end up playing for the Giants at some point, too.
So they step up. They're like, okay, we need to get a better team.
Yeah, they just pass them around.
I only went to the Giants stadium twice. And, no. Maybe. Either way, it doesn't matter. I've been there at least once, mm-hmm. if not twice. And when we were going, there's the main road that it sits on, and we parked wherever we had to park, and we had to go walking down the road by all the bars.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're crossing this main, and it's huge, it's super wide, like a major city, not like typical San Francisco crosswalks. And as we're walking, the nudist guys, you know which ones I'm talking about, the old guys that hang out, and they're all sitting there on their bikes, and all they're wearing is a smile and a chrome cock ring.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, fuck. And there's kids walking by, and you see them kind of looking, which, I mean, God bless them, good for them. But it's like, why? Why do you just want to be seen so bad that you're going to sit right here at the crosswalk mm-hmm. just so everyone is forced to look at your balls?
Oh, it's crazy. And it's such peak San Francisco. It's like people are mad that you don't want to look at their dick.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what the fuck do you mean? This is America.
Yeah, this is my dick. What's wrong with my dick? It's out in the middle of the day, and it looks like a weird, I don't know what that is.
That whole like area surrounding the stadium is so fucking crazy. Like, you'll have like the family is just like walking their child in, and then there's two like dudes like fighting outside. It's crazy. And then I forget what year this was, but not like immediately outside the ballpark, but those bars that are like down the street,
mm-hmm.
Dodgers fan got stabbed and murdered like after a game.
It's weird because I would go, to the Oakland A's, I went to the Raiders games, but the Oakland, the Athletics and the Raiders stadium. And it was a good friend of mine. I think you know him. You may know him, Jack Hammer, the performer. And he called me up one day. He's like, you want to go to a football game? And I'm a huge hardcore Packers fan, but I was like, the Raiders are blue collar too. I can get behind this. And it was a local team. So I was like, sure. And I'm like, can I wear my Green Bay gear? And he was like, no. And I was like, but we're not playing Green Bay. He was like, I don't care. You're not wearing Green Bay gear. Whatever. So we get there. I buy my Raiders hat. I hang out. And we watch the game. And it's great. And at some point, he's like, let's go grab a beer. So we go down. And it's like during a break, so there's a lot of people walking. And as I'm standing in line, I glance down and I see this massive, I mean, I'm a big fucking guy. This guy makes me look like an ant. And he's fucking head to toe green and gold. And I'm like, what in the fuck? Dude, you said I couldn't wear my Raiders gear. He was like, you can't. I was like, he is. He was like, he's bigger than you and he's black. He was like, and that's the reason he's wearing it at Raiders Stadium and you're not. And I was like, all right, I'll take that. That's fine. But he was like, but shortly after that, I think the next beer break we went to, there was a fight that broke out right next to us because whoever we were playing, I think it was the Broncos that day, somebody had a Broncos thing on, and instead of taking it when they walked through with their Broncos gear on at Raiders Stadium and being like, okay, sure, I'm in your stadium, I'll take your thing, he stood up and mouthed off, and they beat his ass.
Oh, yeah, they do that in Oakland.
I was like, fuck. But apparently, they do it at Dodgers also, or at San Francisco.
Yeah, and they do it at Dodgers. Like, Brian Stowe, he was a Giants fan outside the stadium, and he got, like, permanent brain damage because he got jumped.
I think that was in the news, right?
Yeah, so every time I was at a game, he was, like, up in a box or something, they would, like, make a point to be like, hey, Brian Stowe's here, and everybody would clap for him.
I remember that because there was footage of it, and it happened in the bathroom, right?
I think so.
Yeah, we were still living in L.A. when that happened because I was like, fuck. It's just weird how hardcore some people get.
Yeah, that sports aggression, it's crazy. I would go to, like, preseason games, like, not even regular season. Like, these games do not count. They're just practice of, like, seeing the Giants play the A's or whatever. And, like, I'm at the Giants stadium wearing Giants stuff, and the Giants won. And then the A's fans are still, like, yelling people trying to start fights.
Yeah.
It's like, why are you so aggressive and angry?
Yeah, it's like we're supposed to be here watching a game, not a combat, and not like the Roman times where it was like, you know, two go in and one come out. Like, we're not watching this death thing, we're watching a game.
Yeah.
And you motherfuckers are trying to kill people and stab people.
Oh yeah, and they all shake each other's hands afterwards. Like, the dudes on the field are being civil, but...
Yeah, but everyone around them want to kill each other.
Yeah, they're stabbing each other.
I don't get it. What have you been up to? What have you been doing? Is there anything fun? I mean, I know we just finished the movie and talked about it, but have you been doing, like, do you got anything coming up that you want to talk about, or... Or anything that's gonna happen? It doesn't even have to be with the industry so much, it could be anything.
Yeah, I had a couple scenes come out like today and yesterday. It's been kind of a slow month. Also, I've been really lazy. So like after I get back from Berlin, I'm working a lot that week, but yeah, nothing's really super pressing that I can think of. Like the movie that was like the big thing I was like most excited for all year, and I was like checking Kink every day, like, they're releasing it, and the premiere is like October 17th, I think. Yeah, so I'll be in LA for that,
I think, and we have to talk to them because obviously but I think premiere they're gonna go with screening because okay. premiere means no one's seen it yet, and since it's been on the semantics at this point, but I feel like it would be smarter to call it screening rather than...
Oh yeah, I think so.
But either way, yeah, it's supposed to be October 17th. I don't know if it's industry or if it's for fans. So anybody's watching, sorry, I don't know.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out for sure. Okay, that's like I caught a weird glare. I was like, did that fall? Is it still recording?
Yeah. you gotta do it over.
I know. Now I gotta hold on. I can just check. Now I'm nervous. Hold on. Oh yeah, it's still going. We're good. I'll get that in. That's funny. So yeah, I don't know, but I think it's gonna be a mix between, because I don't know, when we did Deception, there was the we did the viewing in the Armory, and we invited 100 fans to come watch it, local fans, and there was no industry. There was Aiden, who hosted the Q&A, me, Veruca, and Jerry. And I think that was as far as porn went. Stars, that was all that was there. And then we had people running like the concessions and the lighting and the, you know, all the people running the video stuff, but that was the only like porn. There were no industry people. So I don't know if this one's gonna be hopefully all industry or hopefully all, I don't know what direction that kink's going, but I do know that's supposed to be October 17th.
I'm excited to see. Oh, I just remembered something I'm working on.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm so stupid. My t-shirt store should be up like today or tomorrow again.
Oh.
Yeah, it was, you'd think like it would be easy to sell like shirts, but it's very hard. I like had no problem getting approved by like a payment processor to sell like videos of me getting double analed and whatever on DVD, like
right.
Photos of me naked and stuff. But a picture of me that's like censored, covered in red colored corn syrup, not even real blood, they're like, we don't know about this.
Are you shitting me?
It's so stupid. And
plus it's also hard to have people buy the t-shirts. I don't know about you, but for me, and I bought, see that box over there?
Mm-hmm.
Orange and white one?
Yeah.
I had t-shirts, like I ran a contest, I kind of threw in it, I didn't put a lot of work into it, but I put some, what I thought was a cool couple cool designs and threw them out there.
Mm-hmm.
And because I was thinking about doing it, and I was like, and I'll put it on the internet and I'll have people to kind of help. It was a two-way process. It was to get people traffic to come to my personal site.
Mm-hmm.
But it was also to see, hey, let's see if some people are interested in doing this. And the one that was voted by a landslide so much better than the rest of them, no one wanted. They were like, I love this design, but I'll never wear it. And it was a boot print that just said submissive.
Oh my God, I would wear that.
That was all it was. And everyone was like, I would never wear it, or I couldn't wear it to the office. And I was like, the only person that's going to know is you.
Yeah.
Or a like-minded person. No one's going to look at your shirt and be like, submissive? Is that the way you identify in the bedroom in your BDSM lifestyle?
Yeah, exactly. Unless they're into that too.
Right. So the person that won, because I basically collected all the names from social media and I put it as, you can go online and do this, and I didn't realize this. My wife showed me this. And you upload all the names, you just copy them all from a spreadsheet that I had, and you dump them in there, and it picks one at random. So you don't have to go, which one should I pick? So it picked it at random, spit one out, and I notified the person, and they said that they were like, this is the one I want. So I told everyone, I'm going to get, you know, larges and extra large and medium and small. I'm going to get a handful of each size, so it's limited edition. Not one person has bought a shirt.
Oh, no.
So I've got a box. So if you want a shirt, I've got one over there.
I'll take one.
And it's like a light, pretty soft gray. And it says, consent is everything. And it's got like a heart on it.
Oh, I'll wear that.
It's super cute.
I'll wear the shit out of that.
Yeah, so it's super cute. But people, I thought it's because I'm the big consent. I'm so much like so hardcore about consent and it being so important.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, people are going to love this. And consent is everything, is like all lifestyle, all aspects. It doesn't have to be in our industry or whatever.
Oh, yeah, just life in general.
Yeah, and not one fucking soul. And I was like, and Becky was even like, it's, let's put a heart, let's make it something. And she's a little sexist. Not really. But she's like, make something that's not so hard. Make it something that's more wearable and more likely for a female to want to wear.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, and it's cute, so we'll put a heart on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, still nothing. So, but yeah,
oh,
remind
tough.
Me, and we'll get you one.
Oh yeah, I switched over to this new printer where it's like print on demand. So I have, the last time I was selling shirts, I sold out, which was cool. So I'm reintroducing that design. And then I have another one where it's like me getting like cigarettes ashed in my mouth. And like 8 people have this image like tattooed on them.
I've seen you post this stuff.
Yeah, so I'm like, fuck, if people don't buy this shirt, I'm going to be pissed. Because if it's good enough to tattoo, it should be good enough to wear. But if nobody buys it, at least like, I'm not losing any money because
it's a print on demand.
Yeah,
that's not bad. Maybe I'll have to check into that or get that information for me later, because that's
yeah.
Sound because this is, oh, you can just get a one-off, but it's a $45 t-shirt, $35. It's like, it was ridiculous. But if you buy 6 to 8 to 10 of them, your price drops down. If you try 20, so every time you buy a higher quantity, it lowers the price.
Yeah, I bought like 100 or something, and it was like $1,300, and I'm like, fuck, I better make this money back. But so sold out, bought like another 100 shirts, and they're all like sitting in like my spare room, like collecting dust and cat hair. I'm trying to get the cats to not jump in the box.
Stay in the fucking box.
And I'm getting cat hair everywhere. But then, like, I got kicked off the payment processor and all this BS, so I couldn't sell them. But figuring it out.
That's just, it's still weird to me. And it is with us because of the way the industry is now. There's this hustle that you can't just show up on set and make your money and go home. It's so saturated, and there's so many girls rolling in, and guys, but predominantly girls. I mean, every second someone's turning 18 years old, and who knows, I don't know what the percentage is, but they're coming, a lot more girls are coming in. I mean, you look back into like the 70s when porn was a lot, it was starting to really become more
relevant. There were like 5 porn stars.
There weren't a lot. And there were a handful of guys. I mean, Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
We still have him. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he's not going anywhere. No, he's like a cockroach.
You said it. But it's like, and now there's hundreds, maybe thousands of girls that are just willing to come in here and let's do it and get down.
Oh, it's crazy. And to set yourself apart, you have to do crazier shit than everybody else, and in an industry where you're getting paid less than you were like 20 years ago, and also nobody's buying porn. Like, I've had to like figure out how to finesse the porn of thing. Like, OnlyFans does okay, but it's not enough to like fully subsist on. Like, escorting, like, so many girls have to rely on that too, because like, why would I spend 14 hours on set to make 1,000 when I could make 1,500 in an hour.
Right.
It's crazy. And then
and half of that hour, if not less than half, is not really sex anyway.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It's with a mere mortal and not a porn star.
Exactly. Yeah, and then I was trying to sell like my signed DVDs and stuff. I sold like maybe 2. At conventions it's so hard. So people won't buy like a physical DVD. Nobody really like has DVD players anymore. I'm slowly finding.
You know, surprisingly, they're still out there. There's a lot of people that are, I'll say my age, probably my age, almost 50 and up, that still like, and I think there's younger ones too that still like that. I want this in my hand, and I want to open it, and I want to go through. It's like a junkie cooking it and putting the needle and stabbing. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same thing. They like the process of putting it in and sitting down and doing it. Even if it's really quick, fast forward to my spot, got it, jerk, and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Because this, I mean, doing it on this is cool, but I mean, that's the only way I watch porn.
Yeah.
I make porn, so for me to actually watch it, I'm not going to go sit down on the computer and set everything up. I'm going to be like, I got an extra 5 minutes in this bathroom. Let me find something really quick. But there, I mean, it's there because DVD sales are still there. I just don't, it's nothing like it was. It's, the internet showed up, the internet destroyed it, and little by little it's been ticking away. But I feel like it's having a surplus of like all of your titles, and not a surplus, but having like 5 or 6, 5 to 10 copies per. That way when somebody's kind of, it's kind of the same thing as the on demand. Okay, they want this, but you, at this point you've got half your house set up just with your swag that you're, they want this t-shirt and they want this, and now you're basically pulling stuff off shelves to put together a care package for somebody, which you could kind of almost do through other companies.
Oh yeah, like I'm having like the t-shirts taken care of like at a warehouse, so I don't have to touch them, which is cool. But it's crazy, like I found, you know, it's hard to sell shirts, I found more people will buy it if they're like fans who have never really spent any money other than like watching your shit on Pornhub for free, but they'll wear something to kind of subliminally signal to people like, I jerk off to this one.
Right. And it's, you know, and the funny thing is if you wear that and if someone walks around with a Goth Charlotte t-shirt on, every Goth Charlotte fan is going to be like, and I don't know if there's a secret handshake, which I need to come up with, because I don't run into fans very often.
There's a secret handshake. It's elbow deep in the rectum.
Come here.
That's how we greet each other.
But like when I went, we traveled last. We did a family trip, and I was coming back. I was wearing our friend Tommy Pistol's shirt, the Wu-Tang with Tommy Pistol. And I've worn it a couple times, and people glance and they see the big yellow W, and they're like, Wu-Tang, and I'm like, yeah, but you didn't read it, and I don't point it out. I just like, yeah, you know, nod and smile. And I was in line. I, you know, the plane that lines you, the airline that lines you up on the two ways. And I'm coming in, and as like the guy sees me, I see him checking, I see him kind of look at me, and he keeps looking because again, I'm not a small person. I got the bright yellow symbol, And as soon as I go up to him, he's like, I love your shirt. That's really awesome. And he had taken the time, and I was like, you're a real fan. Like, you took the time, you read not Wu-Tang, but Tommy Pistol. And I don't know if I actually ever contacted him to tell him, but it was pretty awesome that they like, that's Tommy Pistol, and I love it.
Dude, he's got fans everywhere. He's the coolest. Like, when I first got into the industry and was like doing like a few scenes here and there, one of the first people I told was my twin brother, because I can tell him anything. And he's like, you worked with Tommy Pistol? That's so cool. I'm like, how do you know who he is? He's like, he's the Steven Seagal guy. he's the cook. So he's like fully transcended porn into like becoming like a character of himself. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I need to get, that's somebody I should probably try and get on this thing, because he's, because it's so
fucking funny.
Yeah, and it's then that's the cool thing I think too, is that people get to, like we were talking about earlier before we started, you get to see this interaction and get to know more of you, whether it's your spiders or your sports or your t-shirts or whatever it is. I was watching a podcast, and there was a big, some say I look like him, so anybody that's watching that's a fan of mine probably knows who I'm talking about. He's a lead singer of a big metal band, and he was on a very popular podcast, and instead of them talking about his music and this and that, they talked about how much he loved hunting, and he's a beekeeper.
That's so cool.
He's a fucking bee. So they spent, I forget how long, just talking about his obsession with bees and, of course, the way the population is and all the other bad things. But I was like, tell me more. That's the way I got it. I was like, I can't. So that's why I like doing these, because it's fun to kind of start talking and see which way it goes and figure out what's going to happen and chit-chat.
That's so cool. But you know what they say? Keep your friends close, but your bees closer.
I did see a t-shirt last night, and it had one here and one here on each side of the chest or breast.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a little, like a ghost looking thing with the little eyes cut out. So it was like a little sheep, but below it, instead of having feet, it had the bottom of a bee. So it had the little bubble with the yellow and black stripes.
Ooh.
So booby.
Oh my God, that's really scary.
I thought that was pretty cute.
That's cute.
What else can we talk about? There's other things. I know there's things. Because there was something you said, and it made me think of something, and I can't remember what it was. This is where I should have had that notepad.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that, too.
That's what I should have done. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about... Are you a religious person?
Not really. I'm, like, spiritual. I was raised without religion. Like, my dad was, like, very atheist, and my mom was into, like, witchcraft and shit.
Okay.
So I had like those two sides of it, and like I briefly went to Sunday school, and I remember like you're learning about that passage in Matthew, and like if you've seen The Exorcist, which of course you have, the end where Damien like jumps out the window after he's got the demon in him, mm-hmm. and sacrifices himself. So they base that off this passage in Matthew where there's this like horde of demons that's like infesting this guy. And then Jesus is like, fuck you, demons, and like puts him into this like herd of pigs. And then the pigs like jump off the cliff, and then the demons like are taken care of. And I thought that was the coolest shit. And I was like telling my mom, I was like, Mom, we learned about demons in school today. And if you have a demon in you, like Jesus will put him into a pig. And then the pig will jump off the cliff. I was like so stoked on that. My mom was like, we're never taking you to that school ever again.
That's it, that's done.
That was the end of my Sunday school career. But yeah, I'm not super religious, but I think like Catholics have like a really cool aesthetic. Like you could just like be in like a church and like you feel the guilt in there. Like everything looks like fucking cool, and it's like, I really love like old religious art, like Bouguereau, and like all that Gustave Doré, like Dante's Inferno stuff.
Right.
Like I love the mythology behind it, but I think it's bullshit.
Right. Okay. Same way.
Mm-hmm.
I had a similar, not it wasn't as awesome as yours. Like mine was, like my dad, we're Southern, so we're Baptists. Well, they're Baptists. I'm not. And I remember being at like maybe kindergarten. I was a little bitty, and I don't remember anything about the class. I don't remember anything about ever being in church except for this one moment. And I was in Sunday school and the door popped open and my dad's like, John Paul, let's go. And I was like, well, what'd I do? And I'm fucked up. I am in so much trouble, because he was stern with the way he spoke. And I'm like, oh fuck, I'm in so much trouble. I didn't know what I had done wrong. And I'm like, okay, and I get my stuff and I
just
leave.
Assume it was something bad.
Yeah, I must have fucked up, because it's the guilt, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he gets me out and I'm trying to figure it out. I don't remember much after that, but what happened was that he was, let's go to church every Sunday. My kids are gonna go to Sunday school. We're gonna be, you know, God-fearing parent or God-fearing family. And he had said that he sat there and week after week, it got further and further into bullshit. Like, he believes in God, he believes in the Bible, he believes these things that, like, a good Christian. But he was like, I couldn't sit in a church any longer and listen to this man who was supposed to be teaching the word of God,
mm-hmm.
but then using his opinion, or having an opinion and using the Bible to back up his opinion.
Yeah.
And he's like, I couldn't have it anymore. He's like, and whatever the subject was that day was the straw that broke the camel's back. And he's like, I'm done. And he stood up, he walked out, he grabbed my mom and probably my stepmom. That's a whole other story just for let me tell my background. But so he grabbed the family and came and got the kids and we were out. And he was like, if you guys want to learn, we'll teach you. So we spent Sunday mornings and he would read and he'd just start to finish. He would read a little bit and then we'd go hang out and walk around downtown or whatever in Atlanta and talk about it. But there was never this like fire and brimstone. And like there was a festival in Atlanta. I think they just started it back up. It was Freaknik. And it was like this huge thing. And it was like this fucking Snoop Dogg would show up. Like it was, everybody came from all around the at least this country to have this massive party in Atlanta. And I was dating a girl who liked church, so mm-hmm. pussy's persuasive, so sure, I'll go to church with you, honey. And her Southern Baptist preacher was talking about how Freaknik was a sin and pulled the same shit that my dad had told me. He pulled parts from different parts of the Bible to explain how, and I'm like, what? And it wasn't so much, it was because it was a massive party and a lot of people were there and they were smoking the marijuana and mm-hmm. drinking the alcohol.
So it was like Sodom and Gomorrah, basically.
Right, and all it was a big fucking party, but since he was this, you know, fire and brimstone hell mm-hmm. guy, that there's nothing but sin going on. There's not a fucking thing in the Bible that even comes close to Freaknik. There's that word never shows up, but he somehow had this whole fucking church believe in it. And I looked at her and I was like, I gotta go. I'm walking out.
Oh, that's great. So she wasn't one of those people who think like premarital sex is a sin, but not if it's anal.
Only if it's anal. Only if it's in the mouth. As long as I've saved the vagina for the Lord. I just. Sorry if you're a Christian and this offends you. This might be the point you want to turn this off. It was, but I think that's a lot of the unfortunate. I don't know about other religions, but I think it's the same thing. Like with Catholicism, if you're bad, you go in, you confess, and you go do a couple Hail Marys, and you're straight with the Lord again. And it's the same thing. Like you can be a shitbag through Monday through Saturday, but Sunday morning you're in church, all forgiven.
Oh, it's crazy. And I've noticed that. And a lot of people adopt religion later in life to start, like, I don't know, catching up on good stuff so they can get into heaven.
It's mortality. The older you get, once you get to a certain age, you you start thinking about it. Because when you are younger, you definitely don't think about it, which is weird, because my kid is all about it right now, and he's only 8, and it fucking freaks me out. So I'm like, you shouldn't be thinking like this, but maybe you should.
Mm-hmm.
But in your 20s, you're like, I don't give a fuck, you're carefree. You do a lot of the crazier shit, and then when you hit your 30s, you're like, all right, that was crazy, but I'm still okay with doing this. And by the time you get into your 40s and sneak it up on your 50s, you've mm-hmm. stopped doing a lot of shit, because you're now knowing I may have the majority of my life behind me now, and I'm just now, and obviously I think I've got a long time to go because I'm not even 50 yet,
mm-hmm.
but you start thinking, fuck, I got to start taking, because you start aching. Things start hurting. Things stop working the way they used to, so you have to do more to maintain your body. So you start thinking, and it's more present in your mind, the mortality. And I think that's when people, like, they denounce their atheist or any kind of agnostic thoughts, and they're like, I need to have the Lord here, because there's what if, there's that I'm dying, what if there actually is a heaven, in my whole life I've pissed him off, and now this last second of my life I need to proclaim my love for this Lord, and that's and that. But to me, that just shows the whole hypocrisy and the whole in religion.
It's so crazy. And so my husband, his family is also Southern, like Louisiana, Kansas, okay. That sort of thing. But he was never really like raised religious. Like they didn't really go to church and stuff. But lately, like his mother, who I love to death, she's an amazing woman. We would be at like Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner. She's like, okay, let's say grace. And my husband's like, why the fuck are we doing this? I don't even know what to say. Where'd that come from?
Yeah.
And when we were getting married, it was such a thing that we weren't having like a priest like officiate the wedding.
Right.
And we're like, where the fuck is this shit coming from? She's like, well, I was under the impression that Charlotte was a Christian. And he's like, where the fuck did you get that idea?
Of all of the things, what made you think that?
Have you seen her?
I know she keeps her clothes on around you, but she's got some tattoos that may make you believe otherwise.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I'm, you know what, at the end of the day, I feel that it's, I don't fucking care who gives you the faith to be a good person,
mm-hmm.
as long as you have faith in something, whether it's yourself or the Lord, and whatever religion the Lord's name may be,
mm-hmm.
or whatever it is, as long as you practice being a decent human and treat other people right, I don't give a fuck how you got to that point. And as long as you don't try and preach it to me, because in my 20s, I was notorious. You walk through, like, you know, you go to like some kind of festival, and there was always at least that one person standing there, the Bible, screaming damnation, and they'd always point. And because I was this fucked up looking kid, I had dreads through most of my 20s, and I've always had the big facial hair. So they always, you, me, motherfucker. And I would just tear into them. And I would, like, and all of my friends would sit there, and because that was what I got off on, was being like, you take your silliness and you try and make me feel bad about me because I'm out living my life and I don't look the way you think I should look, so therefore I'm wrong. And
that's,
I would,
weird.
Just,
and he's just,
but he's a Christian,
yeah.
who's taught not
to be tolerant.
Judge and tolerant.
And how does he know until he speaks to you? You could be like the most devout person ever.
It's true.
It's such bullshit. Like this is one reason I don't walk the Avian red carpet anymore. Like, wait, when you're waiting to get on the carpet, you have to wait outside the Hard Rock.
That long fucking line.
The long fucking line. And of course, we're all scantily clad, but probably wearing coats because they have the awards for naked people in January.
Yeah.
Which
never made sense.
No, and of course, and then all these protesters come every year without fail and like yelling at us about how we're whores and stuff. And then it like makes me angry. I'm like, I don't know if I should just like look forward and like not let it bother me, if I should turn around and show them my butthole. Sometimes I do both, but it's like it puts you in such like a horrible headspace before like you have to get on the carpet and look like pretty and like
look like your best the entire year. Like, this is the best you have to look for the entire year at that red carpet event.
Yeah, it's such bullshit. So yeah, last year I skipped it and it was like awesome because we actually got seats and didn't get yelled at by religious zealots.
Right.
But even like outside of like that part of the year, like you walk around that part of Vegas and like I'm just like wearing normal clothes or what I think to me is normal,
right.
And like holding hands with my husband, and then we're like getting yelled at, and it's like, how the fuck do you know like what we're doing?
Yeah, you know,
and
nothing
then,
about me.
And then I forget that like I have a lot of tattoos and stuff. But I just think of myself as like a normal.
And you are, and that's the thing. But people look and they, because they see the tattoos or because they see,
mm-hmm.
you know, your butthole hanging out or whatever,
yeah.
it is, they instantly are like, oh, well, she must be or he must be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to be in a society where people have been given, and you're, all of us are entitled to our opinion. We're all allowed to think what we want to think.
Mm-hmm.
But in the last 5-6 years, I feel like that the internet has become, especially social media, has become so prevalent that it's, you have this, everyone feels not only that they are entitled to an opinion, but everyone else is entitled to their opinion. Like, you are now entitled to what I think, so now everyone has to hear, and that's where these fucking trolls come from.
Yeah, and it's such bullshit. Like, okay, have an opinion, think about it, not everybody needs to hear. And then it's one thing if you just want to like tweet it out there or whatever, but like every time I'm on Twitter or Instagram, like I'm getting people's shitty comments, like, and opinions, like, directed at me, about me, and I'm like, if you're just walking down the street, like, unless you're, like, a religious zealot, you're not gonna yell, like, right. your shitty thoughts at people, but that's, like, what the equivalent of it is.
Right.
Like, just keep it to yourself. Nobody really cares that much.
Yeah. There's a thing that, when I was growing up, I know there's an age gap between you and I, but it still rings
Love
true.
An age gap.
All of a sudden that sounds dirty, doesn't it? Mind your business. Mind your fucking business. Mm-hmm. If it has nothing to do with you, I mean, and it's people, I don't know, I'm confused on how to feel about the way certain people are, because they there's a large group, especially the younger people, who feel that they have the right, and they do, to say and do whatever they want, no matter what. Mm-hmm. This is my right to do all of these things. I can say it, I can act it, I can be it, because we're in America. Mm-hmm. But if you don't fit here where they are, then they think it's okay to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah.
How do you get to put your hands on someone who's living their life the exact, and I'm not talking like fucking Nazis, I'm not talking about shit that who seem to have it coming from everywhere and well deserved.
Yeah.
But because you don't agree with this group, then they can hate you and they can do mean shit to you, or they control you, not control, can troll you.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. It's like all people are doing is trying to do the same thing that you preach that you have the right to do, but then you're fucking going crazy on there. And I don't mind the business. That's all. Just mind your fucking business. All of you, mind your fucking business.
Every time I read the news, I get sad. It's like another person who's like just out there like living their truth, being like trans or whatever, not bothering anybody,
right.
or being gay, or like, you know, if you're in a different country, just being like a woman sometimes,
right?
And then they're like shot and like set on fire, like, and all kinds of horrible shit.
Yeah, for being who you were, how you were born to be.
It's a sick world, and people think I'm sick for like taking 3 or 4 dicks in my butt, but it's like, look at yourself.
I'm in a Facebook group. It's a private group.
Mm-hmm.
Who, just because I'm being a shit. And so they post horrible memes all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're super offensive. And there was a picture of you. And it was like the pretty girl of that. No, it was from your Twitter feed.
Oh, yeah.
And it was this great picture. And you said something about, like, today I did triple anal or something like that. And mm-hmm. whatever you... But they had screenshot, and not the group, but someone had screenshot this,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, what in the holy fuck is this? And I like was like, that's actually my friend, motherfucker. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of it's like, ha ha ha, and I laughed at silly stuff, and a lot of it's offensive, but there was some shitty comment, and I'm like, motherfucker, and when I said it, because enough of them actually, I'm friends with like 2 or 3 of them, like legitimate friends with them,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, back off, motherfucker. They're like, if he stepped up and is getting pissed about this, mm-hmm. you better don't come. Because I was like, you trolled me and I'll come to your house. I'll be like, silent Bob.
Thanks for
sticking
up to me.
But it's also like Roxanne Ray, who I've done this with. There's one, and it was from one of our shoots together.
Mm-hmm.
And she, because she, her eyes would roll back and she had this Cupid doll thing. So her eyes would, and she had really pretty big round eyes. And they would roll back and get crossed, and this one eye would flicker. While the other one was still wide open.
That's so cute.
I thought it was adorable. Same group.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed up. And it was just some silly, because it's fine to be silly.
Mm-hmm.
But when people talk shit, I'm like, don't be a dick. Which is weird, because I'm offensive on all levels. So for me to stand up and say something, you got to be a pretty big bag of shit.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, there was this picture, and I screenshot it and sent it to her. Texted to her, and I was like, hey, this just popped up in my little group, and she was like, I hate that picture so much, and if there's ever been a meme about me, it's always that fucking picture.
Yeah,
because her face is so funny. It's talking about like she's exercising the demons, or mm-hmm. you know, it's one of the, because it's such a fucked up looking face, so
it's weird. Love it. Yeah, that Twitter screenshot, it's like shared around so much, and like some people are like, oh, that's actually kind of impressive, and some people are so mean, like, oh, I bet she has to wear diapers. Like, my butt went back to normal afterwards. I'm very
that was
strong
the comment.
Butt.
That was the comment. It was something about having to wear diapers. And I said, that's what I said. I was like, actually, her butt's pristine.
Yeah.
I've got proof. I have
yeah.
fingers in there. I know all about a butthole. So it was
very
just.
Very good friends with my butthole.
Yeah. So it was just, it's, but it's people who they feel the desire because they don't understand it. They're like, well, I bet she shits her pants all. No, she doesn't.
No.
And you think you should see what where my hand's been, like this massive hand has been inside of Roxy Ray's ass.
Mm-hmm.
And when I tell the story on set, Christmas Disco, the videographer, mm-hmm. he's like, and when I tell it, I'm like, and I did this, and it took like 30 seconds, and my whole fucking fist was in there, and I was like, I'm gonna need a minute, and kind of we all joked because it was, her butt was so welcoming.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we go to, you know, in porn, you do the real slow expose, so it goes from like this, where my wrist is, to that,
mm-hmm.
and it, so you, she's like, she's giving birth to my hand,
mm-hmm.
and then it, whoosh, yeah, and it looked like a virgin butt. It, her butt, and that's Disco's part, like he's like, and you wouldn't be like, it's, there wasn't even a gape, like her ass just sealed right back up like nothing had ever happened.
Yeah, it's like a muscle like anything else. It's like the same dudes who think like the more dudes you fuck, like the looser your pussy gets. It's retarded. Like,
that's just ignorant. That's, yeah, people who probably never touched a vagina before.
Oh, it's so stupid. Like, and like, yeah, I can just live a normal life after I get like two or three dicks in the butt. Like, last time I was in Europe, like I did like a really cool double anal scene, and then I went and saw Rammstein afterwards. I didn't shit on anybody.
See, there's the lesson.
I had a great time.
I think it's, now I feel like this, if this was, say, for instance, you had dildo this size and you had this up your ass every single day for the rest of your life,
mm-hmm.
there's a good possibility maybe you might, the muscles might have weakened because you had something constantly shoved up there.
Oh yeah.
But triple anal, how many times have you done that? Right.
Mm-hmm.
Less than 10?
Yeah, double, that's like a different story.
Right. But even when it happens, you don't sit there an entire scene and have your ass plugged with two or three dicks.
Oh, no.
It's all of the things, and then it's the finale. It's like, ta-da!
Yeah, exactly. And the scene, like, itself is, like, probably an hour at most.
Right. So there's not, because I've got a good, like, my best friend, he's this big, hairy bear that lives in Colorado. And he told me about a friend who, and I think they've changed the design of soda 2 liters now. They look more like a regular Coca-Cola. They got the curve. Mm-hmm. They used to be just a big tube and then it rounded off. And he had a friend who, that's what he fucked his ass with, is he had a 2 liter. Apparently
from
the
bottom or the top?
I don't know. I never asked that part. I have to assume from the top, maybe. I don't know.
I
do know that the soda had to stay in it because of the butt muscles being as strong as they are would clench.
Yeah, and
so you would crumple it. So you had to keep it.
Thing.
You'd have to have a brand new bottle because if you opened it and it had a squishy in it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he, after a good part of his life had that happening to him, he said he eventually had to have diapers. So my best friend, who was a size queen for a long time, was like, maybe I should pull back a little bit because I don't want to wear diapers when I'm in my 60s just because I like to have 2 liters on my ass.
Oh, totally.
Whatever makes your dick thick, right? Or floats,
yeah,
your boat. Or,
yeah, and it's like with me, like I could go like a month or two without having anything in my butt, and then it's like, oh, can you do this quadruple anal scene? Sure. And then I do it, and then like I go back to my normal life afterwards. Occasionally I have like one dick in my butt.
Right.
But it's not like I'm doing that kind of stuff every day.
I just realized I could look at my reflection past the camera and see that it's still going, I think. Yeah, I can see this.
Yeah. There we are.
So it has to be recording. Sorry, guys. Trying something different this time. How often are you doing them? And like, is there ever a time when you and the husband are like, you know what, fuck it, let's just go for it?
It depends. So like, I'm one of those people where like, I would be mortified if I shat on my husband. So I want to be cleaned out. But I'm so lazy about cleaning out, I don't want to do it unless like I'm already getting paid for it. For a scene.
That's what I was gonna ask you. Is it, yeah, only when you've already done it for a scene? You're like, hey, honey,
yeah,
I'm still
so
clean.
Like, so like in the morning, like before I go to work or afterwards, if I'm like, hey, like I took an Imodium, I'm gonna be clean all fucking night.
Yeah. Get over here and give mama some.
Exactly. But it's so weird. Like I used to, before I was in porn getting paid for it, I would be just like at my leisure, like, oh, I'm gonna jerk off, like I'm gonna clean my butt out for an hour and like make it a big ordeal. But it, like the whole effort and everything surrounding that, I'm so lazy about it. Like if I can get paid afford it, like, why do it for free?
Right.
I still really enjoy it, but it's not so thrilling anymore.
We had civilian friends back in the Bay, and I clearly won't say their names, because that's what I've been learning from watching other things. Like, I have to be very aware of what I say so it doesn't go out to the internet and forbid getting into trouble. But they're a super sweet couple, super cool, not in the industry at all, but they every once in a while she'd give them the special. I forget what did she call it? I think she called it the trifecta.
Oh.
And the first time she called me, because did you say trifecta to me? I like going to the horse track, so I'm like, trifecta, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, are you putting horses in him?
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know. And, but, you know, who knows with this world?
Yeah.
But anyway, that was anal. That's basically what it was. It wasn't just a pussy and a blowjob. It was, she'd throw anal in the mix.
Okay.
So when she did it, I was like, do you prep for this? Because we prep for these things. You don't just show up and be like, stick in my butt.
Yeah.
So, and she was like, what do you mean prep? And I was like, what do you mean? What do I mean prep? And she was like, I knew we were going to do it. I was like, no. Like, how did you clean your ass out? And she was like, what do you mean clean your ass out? And I was like, you nasty motherfuckers, you're into shit. She's like, no, we're not. I'm not. And she's like, did I have shit on you? And it's this whole ordeal.
Oh my God.
Because that to me was like, there clearly had to have been shit. And it was, we all laughed it off. It was super funny, but it was instantly, she's like, oh, do I shit on you? And he was like, no, I don't like shit. And like watching the two of them from just teasing what they did to a full blown explanation.
It's crazy. But there's, every time, or most of the times, I think, I don't know, it's usually from behind, so I don't see what's going on back there,
right,
that I've just, like, done it spur of the moment. It's not like porn sex where you're getting fucked for, like, an hour. It's, like, 10 minutes or whatever, and just spit on it and slide it in, and I'm like, I wasn't expecting this, but now I really like it.
Yeah.
But don't show me what's coming up.
Yeah.
But I think,
now that we're here.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's been fine, but it's, like, I, like, have like a high fiber intake, because I never know if like I'm gonna get a call like day before, like, hey, can you do anal tomorrow? Like, so I gotta always be prepared for that.
Just to make sure you're clean.
Yeah. So I think I've been pretty lucky, but yeah, I've heard that from a lot of girls, like so like I do like full service stuff sometimes, like I work in a legal brothel. One of the girls was like, oh, honey, you don't have to clean out for anal, like, it's condom, and, like, the dude's dicks are always really small, and, like, it's, like, they should just, like, expect it, like, if you shit on them, like, who cares? And she's like, I've never shit on anybody. I'm like, have you not shit on anybody? It's, like, mind-boggling to me, but I'm, like, the first time I ever shoved something in my butt, I was, like, Googling on the internet, I was like, how to have like anal as a gay man, because I'm like, these dudes know what they're doing. I'm not gonna read it from like some sorority girl who like only does it when she's drunk. And so I'm like, okay,
she plays a clean out either.
Yeah, so like you gotta have the enema and do everything. I swear to God, I cleaned out for probably like 3 hours, but I was taking my time with it. And then I just did that every time. And I'm like, is this not what people do? But I guess people just shove it in there. I don't know.
Yeah, they do. A friend of mine and a fellow pornographer, well, she's retired now, Danny Daniels, her husband just wrote a book. Have you heard about this yet? And he titled it Waiting for Corn, or Waiting for the Corn.
Cool.
And it's titled after, because they did like a, you know, he's married to Danny, so he hears all the stories. He's met all of her friends. She's got her show that she does, so he's interacted with a lot of people in the industry. And on one of her shows, they were talking about anal, and Phoenix Marie was on there, who I also love. And Phoenix was telling a story of how she prepares for anal scenes. And what she does is her last bites of food before she, like, okay, I've eaten everything. She sits there and has a serving of corn. So when, because it doesn't digest, so when the corn shows up, we're ready to go.
Oh, that's crazy.
And that's where you get the title, Waiting for the Corn, or Waiting on Corn, or whatever. But
it's so interesting that everybody has like a different method of preparing. Like, some girls will stop eating like the night before, whatever. I'm one of those people, I'm like, I eat like before, after, during sometimes.
I think it's knowing your body too. Like there was a girl that we shot, and I shot boy-girl scenes with her 2 days in a row. And she, it was called for just vag.
Mm-hmm.
And day two, she, and it was the same dude, and dude like was like, he was a girthy motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
And she was doing a reverse cowgirl, I think. So he's laying on his back, his dick's pulled this way, and it's, and dude's like, he's rock fucking hard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's 2 days of this massive dick, and her pussy was like, I can't. So we take a break, and I'm like, well, what do you think we should do? She's like, can we just do anal? And I was like, well, are you ready for anal? Because this morning you came in, and obviously this is what we had talked mm-hmm. about off camera. I was like, you were talking about that big steak dinner you had last night. Can you do anal? She's like, honey, give me a few minutes. She was gone less than 5 minutes. Anal's not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
I could give or take it. Who cares? If you come in and you're like, do something to my butt, sure, but I never mm-hmm. go looking for it. Her ass was so clean, I would have eaten a bowl of cereal out of that motherfucker. Like, I was so fucking impressed. In 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she came back, and I just was like, and she was able to whoop and gape. Like, she was ready. And I have never been more, like, impressed and mildly aroused by a butthole than I was at that moment. Because I was like, besides when my fist was inside of Roxy, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was, I couldn't believe it. I was like, that is the cleanest butthole in 5 minutes. And there was steak dinner, like buffet size, like girl threw the fuck down. I was so impressed. I was like, 5 minutes, no warning.
Steak is good. I've had good luck eating like steak the night before. Usually I have pizza for dinner and then for breakfast and then on set sometimes.
I don't understand you and your husband. You two like to be as physically fit and as, and both of you are specimens. Both of you are just beautiful people.
Oh, thank you.
When you're naked. Well, with clothes on too, but when the clothes come up, both of you are so like, fuck, it's so hot. And you just eat whatever the fuck you want. Like, you were talking earlier, like, you're like, that McDonald's this. I'm like, how do you, like, if I even think about McDonald's. See, that's the problem, is I should just work out more. Because
it's just finding something you like. Like, I do Pilates a few times a week, and sometimes I go to the gym, and then I just make it fun. I'm like, okay, I'm going to wear, like, my tightest leggings and like just copy what my husband does, but I'm with my husband so nobody will bother me,
right?
And he's like, I don't know, let's try this thing, why don't you do that machine over there, and let's lift these weights. And then he's like spotting me but is like groping me at the mm-hmm. same time, so it makes
oh, I've seen your videos. I love it. I like, they inspire you. Guys make me want to go to the gym. But like you said, the problem is finding something that's fun. And you know what I think is fun? Drinking margaritas every night. That's what I think is fun, and having chips and salsa.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my problem, is I've experienced the widening, and I'm not motivated, and I haven't gotten wide enough to be motivated to get rid of it yet.
Mm-hmm.
I have, that's a lie. I, not this morning because my back's bothering me, but my sciatica. But I've been doing like 3 mile walks almost every single day, which is nice. But I'm keeping up a good pace because I can't run because my shins fuck with me. So I'm like, I'm gonna move as fast as I can.
Are you walking outdoors?
Yeah, I walk outdoors.
In this
every
heat?
Day. Yeah, every day.
Oh my gosh, you're insane.
Yeah, when I get up and walk out in the morning, it's between 85 and 90 when I walk out.
Oh, okay, that's not too bad.
It's not in the hundreds. Yeah, I'm 5:30 in the morning. I don't fuck around. Which is funny because I'm sitting here talking about how all my margaritas and my ass is up at 5:30 in the morning.
That's incredible. It's so funny how, like, living here, you adapt to the weather. Like, yesterday it was 96. I walked outside and I was like, oh, fuck, it's really nice out.
Should I put a windbreaker on? Yeah. Is it going to cool off more?
It was a little cold. It was raining a bit.
The humidity. And actually, yesterday morning, I was walking. And I'm walking, and you see the clouds, and it's pretty, and I'm watching the sun. As the sun comes up, when I walk out, the street lights are the brightest light.
Mm-hmm.
And the sun's just starting to peak. And as I walk and I walk, I get a couple blocks away from my house, and I take this right, and there's like this middle school. And as soon as I take the right, like fucking 10 steps in, it just starts drizzling. And it's the big drops, but I'm not getting soaked, so I'm like, whatever. And I look at the cloud, and I can see like over downtown Summerlin, like it's getting dumped on, but I'm just catching the drizzle.
It's so pretty.
And
the
sky
just opens up like
it's
that.
Gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to the end of the block, and it stops. And I then take a right and walk towards Summerlin, where it was, you can still see the rain coming, and that was it. But it was just up this one street, it drizzled on me, and that was it. It was the weirdest shit.
It's so funny, like, especially driving around during a storm, like, 2 blocks away, it's fucking downpour, and the streets are flooding. And then, like, 2 blocks, it's, like, maybe not even raining at all, if anything, just a sprinkle.
I like it when the sun's out, and it doesn't happen out here, but for being in Georgia, we would have sometimes, like, the sun would be out, there's clouds, but you would be in, like, the pocket where the sun was just beaming on you, and then the bottom would fall out. And you're looking, and you're like, there's a cloud over there, and there's one over there. How the fuck am I getting rained on? You look straight up, and there's nothing but blue skies, but it just, you get fucking poured on. And then it sucks, because it's all the humidity, like it is in Florida. It's horrible.
I hate the humidity. When I was moving here, people were like, oh, it's a dry heat, it's not that bad. I'm like, fuck you, it's 118 degrees. But
I don't give a fuck if it's wet or dry, it's hot.
Yeah, but not sweating is nice. Yesterday was humid, and I was like sitting in my friend's car. I'm like, why is my ass wet? Did I piss myself?
What is this moisture in my pants?
I'm like, oh, that's just my crotch sweat.
Have you seen out the studio, you know, when I've got like the big main set and I've got the two little domestics, that wall that separates those two rooms, I think I put it on my Instagram, and it's swamp ass awareness. And yeah. I actually printed it and had it stuck. Because especially yesterday, because this is so, it's so horrible out here right now, we were shooting, and at some point, girl's laying there, and I'm like putting rope on her, and I think she was actually recording for like her Snapchat, so it was like behind the scenes stuff. Mm-hmm. And as I'm tying her, and we're just standing there, and this is the first scene. And I look at her, and I was like, you're not even glistening. And she was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you're dry. And she was like, well, I'm, because she's a big squirter. She's like, I haven't squirted yet. And I was like, I have drip or sweat rolling. I could feel it roll down my back. And now that I'm walking so much, I've grown an ass.
Yeah.
And there's that little crevice that I'm sure you know, that the, it just roll, and it keeps rolling right into my ass crack. And I'm like, and so I'm talking about this on her fucking feed. So whoever's watching her shit, you have to listen to me talking about ass sweat. how you feeling? We've been going at this for a little bit.
I feel pretty good.
You feel pretty good?
Yeah.
Let's jump into this last little part, and then we'll wrap it up. Maybe we'll get some lunch. I don't know. Can I do that? There's a great place up the street. Do you like Irish food?
I love all kinds of food, especially pub food.
This is legit. Like, the, I don't know if she's an owner, but like any of the newspaper, like, articles that have been written that, you know, the people put out and show off, has the image of the bartender. So I think she might be an owner, but it's got like this deep red mahogany bar. Like, it's legit. Like, I've never been to Ireland, but I have to assume that this maybe even came, because it's just, but anyway, her accent's super thick. So the food, and the food is legit as fuck. Like, super legit. And they got a fuck ton of whiskey there. I know you don't drink, but
I like to look at it though.
They've got one. Sometimes. They've got one, and they've got varieties. Like, she came over to the table, and we're like, we want to have a nice shot, but we're like, there's like $300 shots in here. Like, what are we looking at? Like, she was like,
how do you know?
She was like, you want something good? And we were like, yeah, of course we want this one. We're asking you. And she was like, what are you looking at? We're like, nothing above like $50. And we'll just kind of sip on it. And she was like, okay. She brings us a $14 shot of Jameson Black Barrel, I think. And we were like, we said we were going up to 50. She's like, nothing above this in that price range is worth drinking. She was like, for the money, this is your best one. And I was like, holy. So now I'm like, I don't know if I'd ever try the $300 shot, because fuck that.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was cool that she did that. But anyway, yeah, we'll go up there. So to wrap this up, as much as I love talking with you, would you give it, if you could give advice to someone that's coming into the industry now, and not to push the boys to the side, but for now we're going to, because the boys don't seem to be, and is and it's such a bad place as some of the girls come in the industry, and you know what I'm talking about. If you could give like a piece of advice or any advice to girls that are coming in the industry, like, what, maybe, I don't know, whether it's like what to look out for, how to, like, if you could give advice to the girls come in and they could all come and have to say, hey, I'm gonna listen to Dot Charlotte, and she has to say, what would you say? What would you tell them?
Definitely a couple things. First thing, whatever you do, do it seriously, but don't take yourself too seriously. And the second thing, and this is the most important, save your fucking money. Like, this is what I've been doing since I started being a money earner. Divide every income, deposit, accounts receivable, whatever you want to call it, into thirds. So a third goes to your past, which is like your debts, like,
right,
put it towards your credit cards, and a third goes to your future. So bills you gotta pay now. If you really gotta buy that pair of shoes, for me, that's a necessity.
Right. a lot of times it is, especially with the girls.
Oh yeah, and then write it off. And the last third for your future, like savings, like 401k, put money in like a TD Ameritrade or something.
Invest it.
Yeah, buy some safe stocks. You know, get a Roth IRA or a SEP IRA. Also save money for taxes. So many people come in and they're like, I didn't know I had to pay taxes on this. I'm like, yeah, you think you got a $1,000 check and get to keep all of it? No, maybe maybe $300 of that is usable money.
Right.
And
accountant, that's what I tell a lot of the people. I'm like, find an accountant, and if you ask around enough, someone, you, me, there's people who most of us have accountants, because we have to, because there's a lot of money that's moving around and it has to be taken care of because of your shoes that need to be written off, or your makeup, or your outfits, or my floggers and my rope, or the rent on the studio, all of them. So having an accountant, I think, is probably the most essential thing. And then being smart with them, because accountants can even help you with that too, because it is, that's a lot of the people, boys and girls, but the girls come in and they go from having a regular job at a drive-thru in a restaurant somewhere.
Where they get a W-2 and everything's taken out.
And then 3 months later, they've been in the industry for a while, they've got 60 to 100,000 fans, they're making, I mean, if they're working hard enough, they're making 20 to 30,000 a month. If they're, I mean, that's a lot of work, but say even a $15 to $20,000 a month, do you want to keep that?
No.
And especially if you came from minimum wage to $15 to $20,000.
You have minimum wage money managing skills, and it's a lot to handle. And also, one of the best things I ever did was getting an LLC tax-free. It's very good. And it's so much easier to differentiate your business expenses from your personal expenses, everything related to the business. Use your business debit card. And then that way you have a record of it. So you don't have to keep every receipt. You just bring your bank statement to the accountant at the end of the year.
Right.
And everything's in there and you don't have to think about it. But yeah, that's, the money is the big thing. So many people like come in and they'll work for like maybe a couple years and they could be easily pulling like six figures a year. And then they retire and they have nothing to show for it. They don't have any equity, like they don't own a home, like don't have a car, like don't have any savings for the future. And it's so hard to transfer these skills to another job, because a lot of people don't feel comfortable putting it on a resume. So it's like you have this gap employment history, and I don't know, it's hard to...
You know what you put in that gap place is... consulting, a business owner and a consultant.
Oh yeah.
And you also know accounting as a skill. So if you think about it, we, because of being, because we're all small businesses essentially. Each individual performer is a small business. So knowing accounting, knowing bookkeeping, knowing, I mean, there's fucking apps. There's so many, like we use, I think there's three apps, free apps, because, and it's like there's one, I'm not gonna say the name of it because, well, I'm not getting paid to say their name and promote it.
Yeah.
But it runs in the background. You turn it on, you put your information in, and you can sit there, you know, on when you double tap and you can close out all the stuff on your iPhone. You never have to, it's never open, but you just give it permission to run in the background. And anytime that you start moving, like in a vehicle above a certain speed, and I found out back in the Bay Area when I rode a bike, if you go fast enough, it records that too. But it knows when you're in a vehicle and moving, and it records it. And at the end of the week, it's like those fucking dating apps. You swipe left or right. Left goes to business and right goes to personal, or vice versa. And it logs all your miles. And then you fucking, and it's free. You don't have to pay for this shit. And that, I mean, because people don't get that, like, you're driving to work and driving, doing things. Like when you get in your car and you go to the mall because you have to go buy shoes and buy makeup and buy new panties and buy all of these, you know, new batteries for your camera or whatever it is. Obviously, a lot of us shop on Amazon now. Yeah. But anytime you drive for work, that's write off. And it's amazing how people don't write shit off.
So much stuff slips through the cracks. And if you have a really smart accountant, they can get you a lot of like tax credits and stuff like you wouldn't know about, like just doing your shit on TurboTax, like you miss so much. And the highest percentage of audits come from people who use TurboTax. They taught me that in my tax prep course, because I was doing tax prep before porn.
Right. Again, something I didn't know.
Didn't make it to accounting.
Well, clearly something stuck because you're doing your own shit. And because you've been in the industry...
4 years.
4 years?
And I love taxes.
I love taxes and dead animals.
Yeah.
4 years. Yeah, because I fucking... You did the Kink University. I think you and I were your second shoot for Device Bondage, right?
Yeah, that was my second kink shoot ever. And I think like my third shoot ever. And I was so nervous.
It's weird. I was talking to someone recently, and I don't remember who it was now, but we were talking about like how I, because I've been doing this a long time,
mm-hmm.
and I've worked with so many people. Like, I didn't do Phoenix's first shoot, but I did Phoenix's first bondage shoot. I did Lexi Bell's first bondage shoot. Like, I've got a kind of a fun little claim to fame.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a friend of yours. I think. I could be wrong. Katrina Jade?
Yeah, I know her.
I did her first shoot ever.
What?
Her first shoot ever was on Dungeon Sex with that I directed.
She's very lucky.
Yeah. The Bonnie Rotten girl that everyone loves so much, mm-hmm. She got into the lifestyle down in LA, and her and I had, she was, I don't know exactly what was going on between the two of them, but he called me and was like, yo, I got this girl, and we're trying to get her shot. Would you shoot her? And I was just messing around. Like, I was a fill-in. They were in between directors for Device Bondage at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I was running the site. So I was like, yeah, I'll bring her up here. So I don't know if it was her first porn shoot, but it was close to her first shoot. Was it Kink with me on Device Bondage? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, those are two mega big name girls, and.
That's where things get started.
Yeah.
It's on your set.
I know, I'm a star maker. you got anything else to talk about? You want to get some lunch?
No, I think we should get some lunch.
Okay. Thank you. I love the color on your nails, by the way, too. I keep trying to look you in the eyes. This is, it's like when you're naked, I can look you in the eyes all the time. I'm like, your nails are pretty.
You're the only guy I know besides my husband who like compliments my nails. Like, you noticed.
We were out at dinner last night at one of our places because we love Buffalo Wild Wings a lot in our family. More than we should. Like, we have our own waitress that we like wait for her, and she knows our order because we eat the same thing every time.
Mm-hmm.
But she came around to the table last night, and she's running, so she's got her hair pulled back in a ponytail. She's got the elastic strap that holds all the flyaways. And she showed up, and I'm like, you did something different with your hair. And she's like, yeah, and my mom braided it for me. And she lives with her mom. She's not like an underage girl, so I'm not flirting with an underage person. But she's like, I had my mom, because it was like the French braid.
Mm-hmm.
So she had her mom do that, and I was like, no, but you're missing your elastic thing. And she was the same way. She's like, you noticed. And I was like, that's what I do. I notice little details that most people don't pay attention to.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go get some lunch. Thank you. This was awesome. See ya.